today on Real Radio.
How you determine what's going on in your life, will you and I join ranks together and say, I'm going to forget those things that are behind. I'm going to put them before the cross of Christ, and I'm going to press forward in Jesus' name. I'm going to let the Lord be the Lord of my life, and He is bigger than my past, even if it's true. He's bigger than our past. And He'll set you free. This is the power of the gospel.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Just in Time, continues in a series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. We'll be covering Galatians chapter 4 today, verses 1 through 7. How can we who are sinful by nature come to a God who is holy by nature? The only way to come to God is through His gospel of grace. You know, we as human beings can't be trusted to properly evaluate ourselves before God's standards. We have a tendency to justify our own position and our actions. The sermon title Just in Time means God declared us just based on what Christ did on the cross. And just in time also means that He is always on time. For living under the law means we are living under the judgment of the law and outside of Christ. Today, on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that the Christian life is marked by joy. God has redeemed us who were held captive by the law and the rules of this world. God was just in time when He sent His Son Jesus, who sets us free and gives us new life in Him. And now, continuing his lesson called Just in Time, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
No wonder it rings in your ears what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, he said to those converted non-Jews in Corinth, he says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. They all went, oh, I remember saying that. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. It is a promotion or a graduation unto adulthood. And certainly we're talking about spiritual matters. So Paul is talking about until a child receives the knowledge and comes into the understanding of, listen, of salvation in Christ, the law was, as it were, a guardian and a steward or a tutor, we learned last time. But listen to this, and I don't want to go too far off on this. God knows those who are going to become His children. He knows this. In fact, if you read Romans chapter 9, that's what it's all about. God knows in advance who's going to be His and who's not going to be His. He knows this in time and eternity based upon His foreknowledge. Based upon His foreknowledge, He then predestines accordingly. So what's very important about this is that God knew, as we read this portion of Scripture, as long as He's a child. Well, how many of you in here this morning are born again, you're going to heaven, Jesus is your Lord and Savior? Raise your hand. Listen, put your hand down. Before you came to Christ, God was using the law in your life just like a child who has yet to come to the understanding of your vast inheritance in Christ. Very important. Well, listen, verse 2, we learn this, that when we were once children of this bondage of the law, we were pinned down by that old life, that BC, before Christ life. It had us pinned down in that the past controlled us. Now, this is very touchy, and every time you bring up the past, people will be offended. You want to know why? Because your past was offensive in most cases. You say, well, Pastor, I grew up in a very dysfunctional home. I encourage you to look up the word dysfunctional in the dictionary. And you will find out that every one of us have grown up in a dysfunctional home. Dysfunctional is anything that's not perfect. Did you grow up in a perfect home? Well, we're dysfunctional, see? The truth of the matter is, we're not going to grow up in a perfect home in this life and in this world. We must understand something. That we need to put the past behind us. Yes, it is a discipline. Yes, it rubs us the wrong way. But listen to what God would tell us out of the Bible. Paul says, forget those things that are behind. Now, as long as you are trying to mount a crusade, you can't forget those things that are behind. I remember someone in this church years ago who left their family, gave up on the things of God, was not happy with their life. Their life began to fall apart. That person went to a psychologist, talked with them for a while. And this woman began to confide in the psychologist and things about life. And the psychologist told her, the reason why your marriage didn't work and the reason why you're not happy is because you were abused as a child. She says, that's funny, I don't remember being abused as a child. And he said, I'll tell you exactly how this is defined by what you have or what you're experiencing now. So then she went to her mother and she told her mom, did you know that this doctor told me that this is why I can't have a decent marriage, why I can't relate to my children, this is what happened. She said, this did not happen. She said, well, I can't live like this anymore. So she went to her dad and she said, listen, my life is all messed up. And he says, I know, sweetie, and they went to church here. And she says, well, listen, my doctor told me the reason why my life's messed up is because you molested me as a child. And he said, I never touched you. She said, well, you know what? He said, and this is the definition of how that pans out in life, and I'm the perfect. He showed me in the book, and I was molested as a child. And he said, because of the marks that I have, you're the one that did it. She began to continually accuse her father. Christmas season came, and there was such a tension. Nobody said anything, but there was such a tension. This father spent his days weeping. And I got a phone call from the sheriff's department. That father was missing for about 8 hours, and they found him out in the middle of the Death Valley Desert. He had taken a shotgun and put it to his, not his head, he put the shotgun to his heart and he blew his heart out of him. When the sheriff's department found him, and when they were asked about, you know, what happened, they said, we have never seen a suicide this way ever. Never. Most people, when they kill themselves, they put a gun to their head. But he shot his heart out. They said, we've never seen that happen before. And this one officer said, this guy died of a broken heart. And it has haunted that girl to this day. Listen, it wouldn't have mattered. Listen, Christian, it wouldn't have mattered if, and I knew that man, he did not molest her, but he couldn't take it that his little precious baby thought that of him. He couldn't take it. But here's the deal, Christian, if that's your situation, something like it or not, in life it's hard, it's difficult, there's pain. We have justifiable hurts. People have wronged us. But Christian, the Bible doesn't say in vain that we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. It's not a pipe dream. It's not a wish. We don't rub a Christian lamp and hope it to be so. It is a reality. When God says, whatever happened and whatever didn't happen and you think did or whatever has gone on. And I think about the woman today, the family we prayed for. Her husband was shot the other day. The missionaries, he was killed. She's now on her way home. How she handles that will determine her future. How you determine what's going on in your life, will you and I join ranks together and say, I'm going to forget those things that are behind. I'm going to put them before the cross of Christ, and I'm going to press forward in Jesus' name. I'm going to let the Lord be the Lord of my life, and He is bigger than my past. Even if it's true, He's bigger than our past. Amen. And He'll set you free. This is the power of the gospel. He sets us free. We are not to walk around in this world spiritually handicapped. We may be physically handicapped, but spiritually we are children and heirs of God. And God has spent all for that to be the case. We're not pinned down anymore according to the past. The Bible tells us that He put guardians and stewards until the appointed time. That means there was a day coming that when you would accept Christ, He would free you from the law. He would free you from the past. He would free you from accusations and actuality. And God would establish a new reality in your life. We learn also in verse 3 that we were held captive by a lesser power. Isn't that something? Have you ever seen someone under the control of someone who's much weaker? It's kind of a sad thing. Where there is an obvious strength in a person's life, but because of manipulation or whatever, the weaker person is controlling the stronger person. Maybe it's an imbalanced or an ill relationship with somebody, an improper relationship. Maybe it's because of extenuating situations of blackmail and strange things where you see someone who can conquer the world, but they can't because someone's got something on them. And that power play is there. In a sense, when we have rules and standards in church, this is the church, you know, rules, or you know, you must obey this and then you'll meet the standard. Listen, you will forever be held under the control of a lesser power. What is the greater power? Jesus Christ is the greater power. He doesn't want to share you with anything. He wants you, I love it, you hear it all the time, you're bored of it. You probably already know where I'm going to go already. The latter verse of Daniel 11, verse 32. Oh, man. Yeah, I know the context is during the tribulation period, but God's promises are forever. The Bible there says, and those who know their God shall carry out great exploits. Wow. What's the prerequisite? Know God. It didn't say, for those who are as strong as God will carry out great exploits. Good luck. No, do you know the Lord? Then what's he want to do? Well, I'm weak. Join the club. I can't do it. We can't either. Pastor, please tell me something that causes me to think that this church is really super organized and knows exactly where it's going. And not here. Ain't going to happen. Is it because you're not going to tell us? I can't tell you. Oh, so you're going to withhold it. No, I can't tell you. I don't have it to say. I don't know. I just know that he's on the throne and we're going to heaven. And in between them, we're supposed to bring as many men, women, and boys and girls with us as possible. And we'll lean upon him and let him figure out how that's to be done. Until then, we'll stay in the word. Second point, verses 4 and 5, is that what God, listen, did in that he redeemed us. He redeemed us. Verse 4 and 5 says, but when fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Get a load of this. God knows the exact moment of when to do things. When it says here in verse 4, when the fullness of time had come, the word fullness here is the exact appointed moment. When the fullness of time, at exactly the right moment of human history. You'll say with me, boy, I wish I lived back in Jesus' times. Well, God ordained you to be alive right now because now is the best time for you to be alive, to be doing what you're doing because God says so.
Well, I don't know if that's true.
It's true. 2,000 years ago, Jesus was born and he came into the world. Prior to that, there were millions of people that lived as well as there have been after. 2,000 years ago, though, Jesus came. Well, why then? Because God had appointed a perfect time. You know what's great about that? If you think about it, I'll just bring a few things to your attention, and then we got to move on. But boy, is it fun. God knows exactly the right time. Always. How so? Well, God, he wanted his Bible to be available in language that everybody knew. So what did he do? Are you ready for this? He raised up a guy by the name of Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great beat up the Medo-Persian Empire. He established the rule of law, and Alexander the Great thought it was his cool idea to make common Greek available to the entire world. And so it was taught. Well, God used that because your Bible was created predominantly in common Greek so that the whole world could read it. Isn't that great? It wasn't in anything else. Can you imagine? It wasn't in Portuguese. It wasn't in... My mother used to speak pidgin English. She could barely speak English, and she would speak pidgin English. You ever heard pidgin English? So you think I'm weird. I'm really weird. If I were to, I have words in my head that I grew up with hearing, and I have them in my head, but I don't even know what they mean. That's pretty scary. So my fear is to be teaching up here and it would come out. Something would come out. You ever afraid, oh, I hope I don't say the wrong thing. I think that all the time. Wasn't Italian, wasn't Latin, wasn't Russian, wasn't English. It was Greek, Koine Greek, so that the king could read it and the little guy on the street could read it. God did that. And then, you know what? God had the Roman Empire put down the Grecian Empire. You want to know why? Because God wanted Roman roads to be created, to be the link to the known civilization. And what happened on those Roman roads? A guy by the name of Paul and Peter and Luke and James and all the guys that we read and love walked around the world proclaiming the gospel. Just the right time. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 2, God establishes kingdoms and he pulls them down. He raises up kings and he pulls kings down. The Bible says that God, it is the Lord who establishes nations and determines their borders to the ends of the earth. I really love that, and I believe in that with all my heart. You want to know why? I watched the Soviet Union fall apart, and I watched their security on their borders break all up, and nobody cared anymore. And just a short, very short time after that, several of us, quite a few of us, got on an airplane and went to Red Square and preached the gospel in Russia, where 2 years prior to that, it was illegal. And we got to take the gospel. And now you look at all of the churches that are in Russia preaching the gospel. And so many millions of people now converted. Not only that, but just out of St. Petersburg, Russia area alone, 600,000 born Russian Jews migrated, got up and went home, they said, back to Israel after the breakup of the Soviet Union. Who did that? It wasn't Ronald Reagan. God bless him, but it wasn't Ronald Reagan. It wasn't Gorbachev. God did that at just the right time. At just the right time, God sent his son into the world. It's amazing. I believe this, that at just the right time, God established a hunger and a passion. Read the book, The Light and the Glory. The real story about the founding of America by a guy by the name of Christopher Columbus, whose parents dedicated him to God to find a new world where the gospel could be preached freely. And they said, this child will carry the gospel to the world, so we'll call him Christopher, Christ-bearer. And Christopher Columbus launched out into the world, and he refused to hear no as an answer. He had a mandate from God to go. And God used him to find a nation. And that nation, I believe, was raised up in the last days to be a covering, to be a protection for the nation Israel to be born. Reborn, I should say, at just the right time. God is always in control. Not only that, but at just the right time, God says, according to my Bible, in the book of Micah chapter 5, verse 2, when God comes to earth and is born as a human for the redemption of mankind, he's got to be born in Bethlehem, according to my word. So how am I going to do that? I know. I will put it into the minds of the Roman Caesar to issue a decree that all the world should be registered, a census. And my boy-to-be will be taken out of Nazareth, and he'll be brought down into Bethlehem, the birthplace of his earthly forefathers, and he shall be born in Bethlehem, Ephrathah. Though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth he whose goings forth have been from of old, even eternal. God had to be born in Bethlehem in Jesus Christ. He not only did that, but he prepared for us a mediator. It says that he sent forth his son. You got to circle the word son right there, because it is not son as our culture. When we have a son, he's less than the father. Did you know they don't think like that in the Oriental or Mideast world? Did you know that? When you have a son, that's it. That son is heir to the throne. He has all the authority that the father has. They're equal. Did you know that? That's why when Jesus says, why do you want to stone me or kill me for the works that I'm doing? And they say, we're not going to kill you for the works that we're doing, that you're doing. We want to kill you because you are a man and you declare to be the son of God. That's why we're going to kill you. See, well, what was wrong with that? Well, if you don't believe that he was God come in human flesh, there was a lot wrong with that. Because when you declare that you're the Son of God in the context Jesus did, he was God come to earth, having all the authority of the Father. You say, well, yeah, but Jack, now the Bible says that we are sons of God. Yes, completely different term altogether. But listen to this. God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, meaning that in, and I don't know, someday I would really love to write a book. And I already have the title, that's pathetic. But the title of the book would be The Biology of Redemption. Why? Because in Jesus' blood, it had Mary's genealogy in his blood, but not Joseph's, because Joseph had no part of it. And yet you have to have a male-female to pull this off unless you have a miracle. And when Jesus bled, and when Jesus offered his sacrificial blood upon the altar in heaven forever, what was going on? The biology of redemption, the biology of his salvation, what was going on? That's a wonderful topic to meditate on and to study about. Why is that the case? Born of a woman, he had to represent you and I 100%. Did you know that? Jesus Christ could not die for us on the cross unless he was a 100% man. Did you know that? But he couldn't die for our sins upon the cross if he was only 100% man. Because there are no good men, as any woman would tell you. All men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The human race is tainted. But what God did is that through Mary's genealogy, he had access to the ancient prophecies and the legality of the throne that God had given the Old Testament scripture genealogy. But purity-wise, he had to come from his father. And so that's why none of Joseph's blood was in him. It couldn't be. So he was not only 100% man, Jesus was also 100% God. He was the God-man, the one and the only. Thus, the Father declares in the Bible, "This day have I begotten thee." That is not said of anyone or anything else. It's not said of angels or of men. That God would clothe himself in human skin and come into the world to save us. And it couldn't be a good man to die for us. It had to be the Christ-man, God, our Savior. Amazing, isn't it? That God would die on the cross, that he would relegate himself down to mere human capacities, that he would suspend himself on a cross and die for us, the great mediator, Jesus Christ, sent from God, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, to set us free from the law itself. The Amplified Version of the Bible of Philippians 2:5 says this, "Let this mind or attitude be the model for you, which was shown by Christ Jesus while on earth, who, though he was God on earth, did not demand and cling to his rights as God, but he willingly laid aside his mighty powers and glory so that he would disguise himself in the form of a servant by becoming a human being." Jesus Christ, our great mediator.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Just in Time. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that you have embraced your inheritance by being joint heirs with Christ just in time. And you know, Just in Time is part of Pastor Jack's series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. It's a series that brings to light our struggle between grace and good deeds, for we're justified through faith, and not of our works should any of us boast. Today was day two of this lesson, and we'll continue with more on the next edition of Real Radio. Let me give you a tab that's going to really help you if you're interested in leading other people to the Lord. It's a tab called Know God. That's K-N-O-W, God. And it's right there at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You know, we've all been there at some point. You're really strong in your faith. You know what you know. You know what's going on in your life and in your heart. But sometimes you may be a struggle to share it with other folks. Well, I'll tell you what. Go to the Know God tab. That's K-N-O-W, God, at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Pastor Jack's got a great video there that's going to help you approach non-believers in your life. You can learn from this video yourself or send it to an unbelieving friend. It's the Know God tab at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, did you know that if you've missed any episodes of Real Life with Jack Hibbs, that we have you taken care of? There are so many ways to catch up. You can visit our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You can download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet, or you can visit us on Pastor Jack's YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube and search Real Life with Jack Hibbs. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.